I'll add just a word to what's already been said by way of welcoming you. We appreciate all of you being here. It's time now in our service for the preaching. Preaching is important. The Bible puts a lot of emphasis on preaching. The Bible has a lot to say to preachers about how they preach. It tells us that we need to preach the truth. We need to preach the Word of God. It tells us that we need to preach the whole counsel of God, not withhold anything that would be profitable. To reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with great patience and instruction. It tells us that we need to preach authoritatively. It tells us that we need to preach plainly. It also tells us that we need to speak the truth in love. And so to preach compassionately and kindly. But preaching is a two-way street. Its effectiveness does not depend solely on the preacher. It also has to do with the hearer. Jesus once said, "Be careful how you listen." So this morning, I want you to think with me about being a hearer. How do you be a good listener to preaching? A good hearer of the Word? Let's think about that for a few minutes this morning. I want to point out to you five things that the Bible has to say about how to be a good listener to the preaching. Number one, to be a good listener, I need to listen honestly. I need to listen fairly. I need to listen open-mindedly. Jesus said this is one of the reasons that some of His preaching did not have the desired outcome, because His listeners really weren't motivated by a desire to please God. He asked in John chapter 5 and verse 44, "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God?" How are they going to believe His preaching when they really weren't concerned about what God's will was anyway? They were more concerned about having the approval of one another. In John the 7th chapter, there were some that were asking, where does Jesus get His preaching anyway? Where does He get His information? And He said in verse 16, "My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me. If anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself." So the first question that I need to ask myself when I'm listening to preaching is, why am I doing this? Why am I here? What's my motive and what's my thought? Someone who listens to preaching in order to find fault probably won't get a whole lot out of it. Now, it's okay to listen to preaching needing to be convinced. It's all right to have questions and looking for verification of what's said. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But there's a difference between that and an overall skeptical disposition that says, "I doubt this seriously. This fellow's going to have anything to say that I have any interest in at all." And to constantly question every single thing that's said and not to have much use for it. And the person who listens to preaching only with a view of seeking confirmation for what he already thinks anyway, and not open to the idea that maybe there's something I don't have yet, maybe there's something I've missed, he probably won't get a whole lot out of the preaching either. So the first thing is that I need to preach plainly, and you need to listen objectively. Number two, when we're listening to preaching, we need to listen reverently as well. Let's read together a paragraph in 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter talks about the Word of God, the Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter, referring to his own preaching, says, 2 Peter 1:16, "We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made by Him, or to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' And we ourselves heard the utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." Peter says, the things that I am preaching, these are things that I know firsthand. These are the things that I have seen and heard and I've witnessed, and I'm giving you eyewitness testimony. But that's not all that Peter preached. Peter also preached the Scriptures, the Old Testament prophecies regarding Jesus. And he said in verse 19, "We have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Peter affirms in that place that when we listen to the preaching of the Scriptures, when we read the Scriptures, we are reading the Word of God. When he says in verse 20, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, he's not talking about the reading of Scripture. He's talking about the writing of Scripture, where it came from. He explains, verse 21, "For no prophet acted of his own will. He was moved by the Spirit of God." Peter says that the Scriptures are the Word of God. They are the product of God moving the men to write the things of God, moving them by His Spirit. I need to approach the preaching of God's Word exactly that way, with reverence that this is the Word of God. And that means two or three things in practicality. First of all, it means that the message is a priority message. When I go out to the mailbox, open it up and get the mail out of it, I quickly thumb through looking at the return addresses. And usually by the time I get halfway up the driveway, I've decided it's all going in the garbage without even opening. But then I'll see something with a return address that registers. Oh, that's so-and-so, or that's such-and-such sending me a bill, or whatever it is. And I know that one's more important than all that stuff that's marked, you know, bulk rate and all of that. It's a priority message. I need to pay attention to that. Peter affirms that when we're preaching the Scriptures, we're preaching a priority message. It's from God. I'm afraid that we may lose our sense of that at times, because we have all had copies of our Bibles our whole lifetime. We've read them. We've heard them preached time and again. I just wonder if we really think, every time we pick this up, this is God speaking to us. Back in Nehemiah's day, Nehemiah was a great reformer. They rebuilt the walls under Nehemiah. And then when the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt, they had a great revival in the city of Jerusalem, right there at the water gate of the temple. And they asked Ezra to come and bring the book of the law. And it must have been a massive book of scrolls. And Ezra brings the scrolls out, and they built a special platform to him to stand kind of above the people. And as the Bible describes that scene in Nehemiah 8, it says that when Ezra opened the book, as he unrolled the scrolls, all the people stood up. I've known of churches where it was the practice that in a scripture reading, all the people would stand up. For the same reason that in a courtroom, when the judge walks in, everybody stands up. There is just a respect that needs to be had for that message. It's a priority message. It also means it's an authoritative message as well. If it's coming from God, it is, this is divine. This is my Creator telling me, and He may tell me whatever He wills to tell me, and I need to pay attention to that. And it is an unalterable message as well. Whatever the Scriptures say, that's it. Who am I to talk back to God? Who am I to read in my Bible where the Lord says for me to do something and me to say, well, I don't think that applies to me. I don't think that applies anymore anyway. That's just Paul writing. That's just Peter writing or whatever. That's just their opinion about it. No. That is men moved by the Holy Spirit to speak from God. And I need to approach my study of the Word of God. And I need to listen to the preaching of the Word of God with that kind of reverence. Number three. I need to listen to the Scriptures discerningly. One of the things that the Bible cautions us about over and over again is error. Things being taught that just aren't so. Jesus cautioned about that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of the false prophets, He said, who come to you as wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. Paul warned about that. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty tradition according to the elementary principles of the world. Colossians 2 and verse 8. John cautioned about that. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4 and verse 1. And Peter cautioned about that too. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter said in verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness." According to John and Paul and Peter and Jesus Himself, there's a lot of preaching that's just not right. It's wrong. And Peter says when we pay attention to that and follow that, we're going to fall from our steadfastness. So that tells me I need to listen discerningly. I need to think about what it is that preacher is saying. But even more to the point, I need to be comparing what he's saying to what the Scriptures say. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. The brethren at Berea are commended by Luke because they examined the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul said were so. In this text in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter cautioned in verse 16 that some of these who are untaught and unstable distort the Scriptures. The mere fact that a preacher cites some verse from the Bible doesn't necessarily mean that what he's preaching is the truth. He may be taking that out of context. He may be twisting or distorting that into saying something that is not intended to say at all. So I need to get my Bible out and I need to read and follow along with what's said and maybe read some of the verses around to make sure the preacher is using that verse the right way. make some notes of the verses that he uses in his lesson, and then go home when I've got a little more time and read that a little more thoroughly and study through that. I'm not asking you to be purposely skeptical all the time. I'm not trying to suggest that I'm a dishonest, crooked guy and you ought not trust anything I say. But I am saying you need to check it out. No matter who it is that you're listening to preach. Because preachers might make mistakes somewhere along the way. And there's so much at stake, it's important that we listen discerningly. Carefully. Number four, we need to listen patiently as well. And I want to suggest patiently in two or three senses. Number one, patiently just in the sense of it may take a little time to present what needs to be presented. Our society has become so instant in everything that we haven't got time for much of anything. We get our news in little bits and pieces. We don't read a long article about it. We want to read a couple headlines. We don't want to listen to a long report. Just give me the synopsis of it. Give me the basics. Last presidential election that we had, these are two people that are going to occupy the highest office in the land. Surely we ought to be concerned as a society about their perspective on various issues, not only what they think, but why they think that. So we have presidential debates. The format of the last presidential debate was, we're going to ask these candidates this question that's very important to all of us, and they have 2 minutes to answer. 2 minutes. That's it. They have to quit after 2 minutes. Somebody rings the bell, you're done. 2 minutes? Maybe somebody can say what his position is in 2 minutes, but he sure can't explain why he feels that way or convince you that that's the right way in just 2 minutes. I think there might be a little more involved in that. What do you think? Well, the same thing's true of preaching. In 2 minutes, I can tell you a few facts that you need to know. But it'll take me a little longer than 2 minutes to lay some groundwork and maybe convince you of those things and help to build your confidence in that. So we need a little patience to listen. We need patience for another reason, too. We need patience because God has a lot to say on some subjects, and He doesn't always say it all together in the same place. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 160, the sum of your word is truth. That is, when we add everything together that God's word says on a subject, that's when we have the truth on it. We can't always find it just in one verse. And if we just jump on the first verse that talks about a subject and think, okay, I've got it all now. No, we don't. There's a lot more to learn about that yet, and we need to patiently work through that. But there's a third sense in which we need patience. I need patience in terms of controlling my response to what God's Word says as well. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 19, this you know, my beloved brethren, that everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. When James says, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, he's talking about listening to the Word of God. I need to patiently listen. There may be times when I read a verse and I'm like, ooh, sure, I like the sound of that. But rather than just closing the book or closing my ears to the preacher, I need to hear it out and control myself. You notice how James talks about the importance there of humility or meekness. And that goes back to our second point of listening reverently. This is God speaking to us. So I need to listen patiently,
learn the whole truth. And then, the obvious last thing is to listen introspectively. That's a big word that means simply looking within. It is so easy to listen to preaching and think about how much somebody else needs that. We all do it. We hear a preacher make a point, I wish so-and-so were here to hear that this morning. They sure need that. Well, they may. But the first thing I need to ask is, do I need that? In Matthew chapter 7, in His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made a kind of a humorous illustration about this very thing. He pictured two people sitting and listening to His preaching or listening to the Word of God, both of whom needed it, but one of these fellows needed it because he had a big old log, a beam, stuck in his eye. Now, the other fellow needed it too, but he only had a little speck of sawdust in his eye. But the fellow with the beam couldn't see his own beam. He could only look at the speck of sawdust of the other fellow. And the Lord said, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to help your brother take the speck out of his eye." In other words, before you think about how much brother so-and-so needs this sermon, you've got to ask yourself, how much do I need it? This is talking about me. We made the point in our first lesson this morning from Amos chapter 9 how important it is for us to take personally all that the Bible has to say to us. Whether it's a promise, an encouragement, a caution, an instruction, whatever we come across, we need to say, that's talking about me. I need to take that to heart. In this passage in James, James says, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. Implanted. Planted in my heart. When the Lord gave His illustration of the parable of the sower, some of the seed fell on the soil and the birds came and ate it. And He said in His explanation of that, that that's the devil coming and taking away the word lest we believe. The word sown, it sits there and before we've had a chance to let it sink in, the devil comes and says, "Oh, that doesn't apply to you." That's, and it's gone. Introspective means not only that I take it to heart, but I keep it in my heart. Again, in Psalm 119, the psalmist said in verse 11, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." He stored that up inside. And then, of course, being introspective means not just taking it to heart, but acting on it. James's illustration here in James chapter 1 is of a person looking in a mirror and then acting or not acting on what he sees. I want to read to you Jesus' illustration of acting or not acting. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. When the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Rain fell, floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. What kind of a hearer am I? That's the question for us to answer this morning. Thank you for listening so well. As we're getting ready to sing our song of invitation, the question we need to be asking ourselves is not just what kind of a hearer I am, but have I acted on what I've heard? Am I like the man that Jesus described who is building the solid house because he's listening to Jesus and acting on what the Lord said? Or am I like the foolish fellow that's listening but not doing anything? Great was its fall, said the Lord. You don't want to go there. Why don't you act on Jesus' words today? Jesus promised salvation to those who will become His disciples. To be His disciple means to live for Him, to take His word into your life and to let that direct it. Let Him direct you every step of the way. That begins with putting your faith, your trust in Him and the atonement that He made for your sins. Confessing that faith that you have before others. Turning and being baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Have you done that yet? If not, what are you waiting for? The wise man is the one who hears the words and acts on them. Will you act on them right now? If you're ready, come to the front. Let's stand and sing.